Hey there, happy families. Welcome back to another transformative episode of the Happy Family Coach podcast. Today, we're embarking on an illuminating journey into the heart of the Happy Kid Toolkit, where we'll unravel the intricate layers of the unhappy kid triangle. Prepare to delve deep into the patterns that ensnare us, discovering the liberating power of faith that sets us free. So, grab your favorite snack, settle in, and let's embark on this empowering quest to unlock the secrets to a joyful, harmonious family dynamic. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach Podcast, your guide to rewriting the story of your family's legacy. I'm Danielle Alvarez Greer, here to help you navigate the twists and turns of family life, faith, and personal growth. Get ready for practical tools, spiritual insights, and heartfelt conversations to transform your family dynamic. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach Podcast, where real life challenges meet real solutions. Hi, friends. Before we delve into our discussion, let me share a personal testimony that truly underscores the profound impact of faith in my own life. Like many of you, and as I have mentioned in previous episodes, I've grappled with negative messages and beliefs that have threatened to overshadow my identity in Christ. Growing up, I internalized the lie that I wasn't good enough, leading to feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. It wasn't until I encountered the truth of God's word and experienced His unconditional love that I began to break free from the chains of self-doubt and embrace my true worth as a beloved child of God. As a single mom at the time, navigating the waters of parenthood while still finding my footing in my newfound faith was no small feat. I wanted nothing more than to raise my children in a way that honored God, but I often found myself feeling overwhelmed and ill-equipped for the task at hand. I vividly remember those early days, feeling like I was constantly treading water, trying to keep my head above the waves of doubt and uncertainty. I relied on my own strength and efforts. I was extremely self-sufficient. Some of you may suffer with self-sufficiency. And no matter how hard I tried, it never seemed like enough. But then, in the midst of my struggles, God began to reveal to me the power of surrender. He showed me that true strength isn't found in my own abilities, but in leaning on Him and trusting in His plans for me and my family. It was through this surrender that I began to see the signs of unhappy behavior patterns in my family dynamic. I noticed how our communication lacked depth and authenticity, how I reacted instead of responded, and how I failed to follow through with boundaries and consequences that I had set in place. In those moments of realization, I felt a deep sense of helplessness. I knew that something needed to change, but I didn't know where to start. That's when the principles of the Happy Kid Toolkit came into play. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." This verse became my guiding light as I sought to surrender my parenting journey to God and allow Him to lead the way. Through the Happy Kid Toolkit, I began to see how the dysfunction in our family dynamic played out. I learned the importance of taking responsibility for our actions, of surrendering our lives to the Lord, and of fostering healthy communication, boundaries, and healthy limits. And most importantly, I learned the power of humility, of owning my part and teaching them how to own their part in any conflict, and seeking reconciliation with God and others. As James 4:10 reminds us, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." The Happy Kid Toolkit wasn't just a set of tools. It was a lifeline that helped me navigate the challenges of parenthood with grace and faith. It was and still is a valuable tool that demonstrates perfectly what it looks like when we believe our unhappy stories, how we feel, and how we play out these stories and feelings with sinful and destructive behaviors. It teaches us how to renew our minds so that we can break free from the cycle of negativity and embrace the abundant life that God has promised us. In our pursuit of happiness, it's important that we remember that true joy isn't found in our circumstances, but in our relationship with God and His transformative work in our lives. It's my prayer that the Happy Kid Toolkit can be a source of encouragement and empowerment for you and your family as well. My heart behind the creation of the Happy Kid Toolkit is so that we as individuals and in our families together would be able to find true happiness in Christ and learn how we can cultivate a spirit of joy and gratitude in every season of life, even in the midst of chaos and dysfunction. So in my quest for wholeness and restoration for my family, it was crucial for me, and it's crucial for you, to recognize the battleground where the enemy seeks to wage war against our minds. We will find ourselves smack dab on the unhappy kid triangle every single time we fail to question the unhappy stories that the enemy throws out against us. As the Apostle Paul admonishes us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let's shine a light on some of the common negative messages that the enemy uses to sow seeds of doubt, fear, and insecurity in our hearts and minds. I'm just going to throw some out as the enemy throws them at us. It's all your fault. You can't do it right. We don't want you. You're not important. You don't deserve fill in the blank. You are incapable. You're stupid. You don't belong. Girls don't count. Nobody cares about you. You're a failure. You'll never be good enough. You're a problem. You're a burden. You should never have been born. You are selfish. You're so uncaring. You'll never amount to anything. You can't even take care of yourself. You don't fit in. Boys are bad. Who you are is unacceptable. You are unlovable. You are defective. You're bad. You are wrong. Your feelings, your thoughts, your opinions, and your needs, they don't matter. What others need is more important than yours. You're here to take care of them. These insidious messages, though seemingly harmless, have the power to shape our beliefs about ourselves, God, and others. They plant seeds of doubt and insecurity, leading us away from the truth of God's love and acceptance. The enemy's sneaky. He knows what he's doing. He loves to create division. This is why it's so crucial to understand the process by which these common negative messages morph into destructive life decisions. In Romans 12:2, we're reminded, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Let's explore how these negative life decisions, the ones I just mentioned, how they align with scriptural warnings against conforming to worldly patterns and hindering spiritual growth. Consider these examples of negative life decisions, each one a reflection of the lies the enemy whispers into our hearts. Don't communicate. Don't tell anyone the truth about our family's dysfunction. Just shut your mouth and do your part to protect our perfect family image. Don't disagree, even if mom or dad is clearly in sin, or they're acting out of pride, or they're unwilling to own their part. Do as they say, not as they do. Don't be selfish. Don't take care of yourself. Don't be different. Be like everyone else. Get along, even if that means you have to pretend it's all okay. Be perfect. Do it right. Don't admit failure. Don't be a problem. Don't be so needy. Don't need anything. Don't be rude. Always take the blame. You need to be the one to make peace. Girls don't count. Men are more important. Men are weak and ineffectual. Women take care of everything. Take care of others because they are more important. Don't take risks. Don't grow. Don't think for yourself. Don't depend on others, and certainly don't ask for help. Don't ask questions. You're supposed to know everything. Don't be frivolous or creative. Feelings don't matter. They make you weak. Don't be uppity. You can't be better than we are. Don't say no. Never set boundaries. Sacrifice yourself for others by being a martyr. Don't be too much. The more you worry, the more you care. These negative life decisions entangle us in the web of dysfunction and despair. These messages, when internalized, shape our beliefs and ultimately influence our actions, which hinder our spiritual growth and well-being. Imagine a seed planted in the fertile soil of our minds, a seed of doubt, fear, or insecurity. This seed takes root when we hear messages like, "It's all your fault," or "You're not important," echoing in the corridors of our thoughts. Over time, the seed grows into a tangled thicket of negative beliefs, entwining itself around our hearts and minds. These negative beliefs then give rise to the examples of negative life decisions we discussed earlier. Consider how the belief, "You're not important," leads to decisions like "don't communicate" or "don't take risks," or how the belief "you're a failure" fuels decisions like "just be perfect," "do it right," "don't admit failure," or how the belief "it's all your fault that mom or dad is upset" leads to decisions like "always take the blame," "just make peace," "just take the blame," "don't disagree, even if mom or dad is refusing to own their part. Just give in and make peace." The enemy cunningly exploits these negative beliefs, distorting our perception of ourselves and others. He seeks to rob us of our identity in Christ, convincing us that we are unworthy, unlovable, or incapable. But as believers, we are called to renew our minds with the truth of God's word, as Romans 12:2 reminds us. And this is the perfect segue for me to take us into the heart of the Happy Kid Toolkit and the Unhappy Kid Triangle, a battleground where dysfunction, blame, chaos, and misery reign. I'm holding up the game board portion of the Happy Kid Toolkit in my hands right now, and I'm going to try my best to explain this to you so you can picture it fully in your mind. So on this game board, there are two triangles, one facing up and one pointing downwards. The one we're going to talk about in this episode is the downward facing triangle. It's pointing downwards and it has three corners, and each corner represents the three roles that we will often find ourselves trapped in when we're believing the common negative messages and living out of and reacting from our negative life decisions. And these roles are the blaming bully, the bossy helper, and the helpless baby. These roles form the foundation of the unhappy kid triangle, which is a framework that mirrors the spiritual bondage we experience apart from Christ. Let's direct our attention to the bottom of the triangle, where you will find the helpless baby, where self-pity and powerlessness reign supreme. This role entraps us in a cycle of dependency, preventing us from taking responsibility for our actions and hindering our growth and maturity. The unhappy core belief of the helpless baby is, "I'm not okay. You're okay. I can't take care of myself. I need you to do it for me." The defenses and strongholds of the helpless baby are to collapse into helplessness, manipulate others into taking care of them by using pity or guilt, meaning getting someone to feel pity over them or to feel guilty. They give up easily, act little, defenseless, they whine, they beg, and they make excuses for themselves over and over and over. Some might even refer to this as victim mentality. In the top right corner of the triangle, you will find the blaming bully, which is surrounded by accusations, shame, and resentment. This role embodies the spirit of condemnation, constantly shifting blame onto others and fostering a cycle of bitterness and strife. The unhappy core belief of the blaming bully is, I'm not okay and you're not okay. The world is a dangerous place. I am not safe. I must hurt them before they hurt me. Their defense strategies and strongholds are to be rebellious, to bully, attack, accuse, blame, condemn, judge, and make fun of others. They may come across as extremely self-righteous, critical, and judgmental. Believe it or not, this is my go-to position on the unhappy kid triangle. When I get triggered by something that brings me back to that memory of being a seven-year-old girl and the message being sent to me was that I'm bad and I don't deserve to be loved, my immediate defense strategy is to go into this bully position. Anytime I fail to question my unhappy stories or to take the lies captive, this is my go-to. I'm not proud of it, but I'm aware of it, and I quickly have to recognize when I'm there, own my part, go back to the person that I'm in conflict with, and ask for forgiveness. Now I want you to shift your gaze to the upper left corner of the triangle where you will find the bossy helper, where false altruism masks deep-seated insecurity, meaning they believe that their needs aren't important, but secretly they're hoping that if they take care of others long enough, hard enough, good enough, that the person they're caring for will eventually give them accolades and tell them how wonderful they are and be so grateful for everything they've done for them. So their happiness, their joy is all externally based. It's what they do for others in return. They're hoping to get something back from them. This role compels us to take on the burdens of others, neglecting our own needs and perpetuating a cycle of codependency and resentment for the person that we are rescuing or the person that we are being a bossy helper to and for. You'll often find people pleasers, peace fakers, and enablers in this role. The unhappy core belief of the bossy helper is, I'm okay, but you're not okay. My needs are not important. I need to be needed to count. I am here to take care of you. If I don't, who will? Their defense strategies and strongholds are to fix it for them, but they do it for self-validation. They take responsibility for others to foster dependency. They'll manipulate with kindness, control, take charge, people please, enable, make excuses for, and protect others, but not in a healthy way. Some might call this the savior complex. I thought it might be helpful to introduce some of the characters from the Bible who exemplify traits that are similar to those found in the helpless baby, blaming bully, and bossy helper roles. In the helpless baby role, we'll look at the Israelites in the wilderness. Despite experiencing God's miraculous provision and guidance, the Israelites often fell into a pattern of complaining and helplessness when faced with challenges such as hunger or thirst. We'll find that in Exodus 16, verses 2 through 3, and Exodus 17, verses 2 through 3. What about Jonah? Initially, Jonah displayed a reluctance to fulfill God's calling, even attempting to flee from his responsibilities out of fear and disobedience. That's found in Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. And what about Peter during his denial of Jesus? Despite his earlier declarations of loyalty to Jesus, Peter succumbed to fear and denied knowing him 3 times when confronted by others. We'll find that in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. And how about the blaming bully? Well, let's look at Adam and Eve. After eating the forbidden fruit, Adam blamed Eve, and Eve turned around and blamed the serpent for their disobedience to God's command. Genesis 3, verses 12 through 13. How about King Saul? When he was confronted by Samuel for his disobedience to God's instructions, King Saul shifted blame onto the people and made excuses for his actions. 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 through 21. And Cain. After murdering his brother Abel, Cain attempted to shift blame onto Abel and ultimately denied responsibility for his actions when questioned by God. Genesis 4, 9. And the bossy helper, Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus. In the Gospel of Luke, Martha is depicted as being overly concerned with serving and organizing tasks, to the point of becoming frustrated with her sister Mary for not helping her. That's found in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And how about the older brother from the parable of the prodigal son? In Jesus' parable, the older brother exhibits a bossy and self-righteous attitude towards his younger brother, refusing to join in the celebration upon his return and criticizing his father's actions. That's found in Luke 15, verses 25 through 32. And the Pharisees and religious leaders. Throughout the Gospels, Pharisees and religious leaders are portrayed as imposing strict rules and regulations on others, while often failing to show compassion and mercy. And you can find that in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 36, and Luke 11, verses 37 through 54. These biblical examples provide insight into the characteristics and behaviors that are associated with the helpless baby, blaming bully, and bossy helper roles, helping us to recognize similar patterns in our own lives and relationships. Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with some practical steps to help you apply the insights that we've discussed here today to your own life. Practical step one, reflect on your experiences. Take some time to reflect on your own experiences and interactions with others. Consider moments where you may have felt trapped in the roles of the unhappy kid triangle, the helpless baby, the blaming bully, or the bossy helper. Journal about these experiences and pay attention to any recurring patterns or themes. Practical step number two, pray for guidance. Prayer is such a powerful tool for seeking guidance and wisdom. Take some time to pray and ask God to reveal any areas of dysfunction or negativity in your life. Ask Him to help you recognize and break free from unhealthy patterns of thinking and behaving. Practical step three, seek support. Don't be afraid to reach out to a trusted friend, family member, or mentor for support and accountability. Share your reflections and insights from this episode with them and ask for their input and perspective. Sometimes having someone else to walk alongside you on your journey of growth can make all the difference. Accountability is so vital. Step number four, take action. Consider booking a family coaching or biblical counseling session with me so that we can dive deeper into your personal journey of healing and transformation. You can also purchase a Happy Kid Toolkit to access valuable resources and tools for building a happier, healthier family dynamic. You can book a session by going to my website, happyfamilycoach.com, and you can buy a toolkit at happykidtoolkit.com. Practical step number five, discover your go-to position. I want you to go over to my Facebook community page, which is the Happy Family Coach Podcast Community, where you can download the quiz, which is on my website, which will help you discover your go-to position or role on the unhappy kid triangle. Understanding where you tend to fall on the triangle can help provide valuable insights into your unhappy beliefs, feelings, behaviors, and relationships. Step number six, engage and share. Join my Facebook group and engage with other listeners by sharing your reflections and insights from this episode and other episodes. Share your answers to the quiz and connect with others who are on a similar journey of growth and discovery. It's great when fellow bossy helpers, blaming bullies, or helpless babies can begin to engage with one another. Something pretty spectacular happens when we can begin to get vulnerable and admit that we do struggle with these roles and these thought patterns, these unhappy beliefs and destructive behaviors. And we can find some humor in it and something that could be so dark and scary and keep us in shame. There's something special about opening up with others who share the similar thoughts, beliefs, and it's so encouraging and empowering. So I encourage you to go onto my Facebook group page, which is, again, the Happy Family Coach podcast community, where you'll be able to engage with other listeners. By taking these practical steps, you can begin to break free from the chains of dysfunction and embrace a healthier, happier way of living. And remember, you are not alone. God is with you every step of the way, guiding and empowering you to live a life of freedom and abundance. As we bring today's episode to a close, I want to express my deep gratitude for joining me on this journey of discovery and growth. We've touched on some profound truths about the impact of negative messages and beliefs on our lives. We've examined examples of negative life decisions, and we've discussed the dynamics of the unhappy kid triangle. Through personal stories and biblical reflections, we've seen how our thoughts and beliefs can shape our behaviors and relationships. But remember, my sweet friends, that there is hope and healing available to us through Christ. We don't have to remain trapped in patterns of negativity and dysfunction. I'm excited to dive even deeper in our next episode. In our upcoming discussion, we'll explore the rules of dysfunction and unpack the dynamics of the unhappy kid triangle. We'll also delve into what each role looks, feels, sounds, and acts like, recognizing that we often move fluidly between them. So, dear listeners, don't miss out on this valuable exploration into the patterns that shape our relationships and behaviors. Join me next time as we continue to seek understanding and healing in the light of God's truth. Until then, may you find peace and strength in the knowledge of His love for you. God bless you abundantly, and I'll see you in our next episode.